That's 800-235-1462.
House Republicans have introduced legislation to lock in cuts to individual tax rates beyond 2025, a proposal that would have trouble advancing in the Senate, but sends a signal about the GOP priorities ahead of the competitive midterm elections. Brendan Arnold is the vice president of the National Taxpayers Union. He says, like it or not, President Trump is the man behind the economic upswing.
Tax cuts are very much tied to the president, and as the president's popularity numbers change, so too do the popularity numbers of this tax cut. But it doesn't matter how you feel about the president, whether you like him, dislike him, or somewhere in between, there's no question that we've seen job growth. 650,000 manufacturing and blue-collar jobs created just last year. Hourly wages increased by about 3% last year.
The Nevada Supreme Court ruled on Monday that the name of a physician picked to attend a state inmate's execution can remain secret, even from drug makers suing him to ban the use of their products in the twice-postponed lethal injection. This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Recapping one of our top stories, Hurricane Florence is bearing down on the East Coast, expected to make landfall later this week, and South Carolina, North Carolina, and Virginia all will be affected. Brock Long is an administrator with FEMA.
This is a Cat 4 storm, potentially a Cat 5. At FEMA, we always plan for one category higher. This is nothing to play with. You're going to see massive amounts of storm surge along the coast, which is the primary driver of evacuations. And then this system is going to come in and cause devastating inland floods statewide across South Carolina, North Carolina, and Virginia.
The changing tastes of teens when it comes to social media is surveyed, and USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the findings.
Common Sense Media, a San Francisco-based nonprofit focused on kids' use of media and technology, says today's teens say social media has a positive effect on their lives, helping them feel more confident, less lonely, and less depressed. It finds 89% of teenagers have their own smartphone. That's up from 41% in 2012, the last time this survey was conducted. But while 2012's teens were all over Facebook, with 68% of them saying it was their favorite social network, the age group's presence on that social network has plummeted since, with only 15% now saying Facebook's their main go-to. Today, 44% of the teens say their primary social network is Snapchat, and the next is 22% choosing Instagram, which is owned by Facebook.
For USA Radio News,
I'm Chris Barnes.
I'm Tim Berg.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design. This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com. At the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent. If you are a spouse or a USAA member, you can get a reward of between $350 and $6,000 when you buy or sell your next home. This also applies to the children and grandchildren of current USAA members. Call Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker to learn more. He can be reached at 908-238-0118. That's 908-238-0118.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-ah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. Here's what we have for you this hour. Jeff Ferry will discuss our tariff war with China. Then we'll cover last week's Service Academy football games. And, of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America report. Troops, I welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. Now it's time for China. Jeff Ferry is Research Director for the Center for a Prosperous America, responsible for building their resources of original research and analysis regarding trade and industrial policies to reestablish America's prosperity and world-leading economic growth. I like that. Jeff is an experienced economist, financial and technology journalist, executive, and author. Anyway, welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Jeff.
Hello. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Jeff, start by giving our listeners a bit about your background. How do you find yourself from a guy who just started his career way back when to being an expert on China and tariffs, growth or progression, or maybe it's regression?
Well, I'll try and telescope the story. I was an economist and a financial journalist, and then I went into the technology industry in the late 1990s, and for about 15 years, I worked in the computer networking industry. Much of that time, I was living in Silicon Valley. And we had a great little company. We did an IPO. Our three founders were brilliant guys. And we found ourselves losing business to a Chinese competitor, which was backed by no less than, I think the figure is $30 billion of government subsidy, which is more money than my little Silicon Valley company had generated in revenue in its whole sort of 15-year life. And it was impossible to compete against them. And this reawakened my interest in the trading situation and in the U.S. economy. And I made contact with the Coalition for a Prosperous America, who 2 years ago were looking to beef up their ability to do original research. And so I joined the team, and I'm very happy I did. The Coalition is a coalition of bipartisan. We have manufacturers, labor unions, and agricultural groups on our board and among our members. And we're all united by the fact that we think international trade is a major problem for the U.S. economy. Rebuilding manufacturing needs to be a major objective, and restoring economic growth. So that's what we're all about.
Well, it certainly sounds like something every American would want to see you be successful at. Okay. So I'm not too knowledgeable about China, but I know their economy is second only to ours and that they're very focused on being the number one power in that region and in the world. I also know they're having a population problem, not enough people in upcoming generations. And I know their economy is having a major slowdown at the moment. Is what I think I know true by what you know?
Yes, I think you're broadly right. I mean, I think the issue as we see it is that free trade is a great idea in theory, but if other countries don't practice it, if they're taking advantage of free trade by subsidizing their products, keeping out imports into their country, and using other techniques to make sure they export far more than they import, that's a problem for a naive free trade country, which is what this country has been at least for the last 20 years and probably longer than that. And then, as you say, China has industrialized to a massive extent over the last 30 years and have become the second largest economy in the world, more than three times the size of Germany's economy, for instance. And they have begun in the last several years to put a lot of money into their military budgets. And it's very clear. I mean, they've said it. They want to be the regional number one power in Asia. And who knows where they want to go beyond that. And many of their Asian neighbors are very worried. And so you put all that together, and, you know, I haven't really talked much about the stagnation in U.S. incomes and the decline in so many of our industries, but those are major factors in our mind. And so what you need is an economic policy designed to stop the trade cheating, to help the U.S. improve its trading position and rebuild its economy. And so the tariffs that we've seen from President Trump are, we believe, the right thing to do. And I want to emphasize we're bipartisan. There are Democrats like Senator Chuck Schumer who support these tariffs. The point is you need to rebuild U.S. industry, and you can't do that in the world environment without tariffs. And the tariffs seem to be working because they're actually at the moment creating more jobs than they are eliminating.
This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Front Lines of Freedom, and we're discussing China and tariffs with the Center for Prosperous America's Jeff Ferry. Jeff, that makes sense. A tariff-free, open, free trade situation works well if everybody plays. And if everybody doesn't play, then somebody gets stuck. And apparently that's been us. So put this in the context of China now. How's China going to respond to this? I would guess that they don't like it, but there's no replacing the American public for buying product. There isn't another equivalent group in the world, is there?
Well, that's absolutely right. I did a study called Overexposed a few weeks ago, which showed that more than half of China's trade surplus is accounted for by the U.S. And in some years, I mean, the statistics are actually hard to confirm because we've got to rely on China for some of the statistics. But in some of the early years in this century, we were 100% of their trade surplus. In other words, they were running a deficit with the rest of the world, but basically building products, assembling products like toys and consumer goods and exporting it all to the U.S. consumer, because the U.S. is, like I said, a naive free trader, or that's what we have been. And so we've allowed our industries to disintegrate and just bought cheap Chinese goods instead. And now that we're enacting tariffs, as you know, there are tariffs on $50 billion worth of Chinese imports. And the president has said he's very close to putting the green light on another $200 billion worth of tariffs. That is already having a significant effect on the Chinese economy. One of the things I've noticed is that a number of manufacturing companies in China have said, we're diversifying, we're opening plants in Southeast Asia, Vietnam, Thailand, wherever. They're diversifying because they can see that the U.S. blockage on Chinese imports might last for many years, and they think they'll be in a better position if they're able to produce elsewhere in Asia. And, of course, we want to see them produce more in the United States, and we're hoping that trade policy leads companies in that direction.
Well, that makes a great deal of sense. So China, in one respect, they're a big power, but in another respect, they are somewhat tied to the market that they need, and that's us. So they're going to talk big and bad, but there's not much they can do. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I think your general conclusion is correct. China is in a weak position because their economy is dependent on exports, and their exports are dependent upon the United States. You know, now there are things they can do. They're trying retaliation, and, you know, let's be honest, politics is a fragile game. It's very hard to predict. I mean, so far their retaliation hasn't hit the U.S. economy very hard. Now, if they choose to retaliate very hard and try to block and target certain American exports and agriculture, for instance, you know, is that going to affect the political landscape here? I guess it's possible. There are things they could do, but frankly, I think they don't want to get aggressively hostile towards their best customer, the United States, because even when all these tariffs come into play, we still buy more smartphones than anybody else in the world. And there are lots of goods where that's the case. So I don't think they want to get really hostile. I think what they want to do is engage in financial engineering within China to keep propping up their own economy. You know, build more trains, build more skyscrapers, build more cities in the middle of nowhere. That is a logical strategy because they're caught between two pressures now. The U.S. is saying, hey, we don't want to be the dumping ground for all your goods. On the other hand, they've got, I think it's 10 million people enter the workforce every single year in China, and they've got to find jobs for those people. And they've raised expectations. People are no longer happy in China being peasant farmers burying potato bulbs with their hands now. They want to get off the farm and get into the cities. So, you know, the Chinese communist leadership's got a challenge here. But I also want to say, let's not underestimate them. This is not the Soviet Union, which, frankly, you know, couldn't manage any business at all. It was sort of 60 years of economic disaster, and then Gorbachev made one speech and the whole thing just fell apart in 1989. The Communist Party of China is totalitarian, and I certainly wouldn't want to live there, but I give them credit for building a decent, an economy that is productive and growing very strongly over the last 20 years.
Good point. And there's clearly more to talk about China, and Jeff's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops hit the deck right now and rest. The starting position for the push-up is called the front-leaning rest. Get into the front-leaning rest position and think patriotic thoughts. Stay there till we come back. I want you to lean and mean. Spartan Nash is a proud sponsor of Frontlines of Freedom, and we'd like to thank all listeners for their support of and service to our country. Spartan Nash is the leading distributor of grocery products to U.S. commissaries and exchanges around the world.
At Spartan Nash, we see firsthand the sacrifices made to protect our freedoms, and it is our privilege to serve those who served at our more than 140 retail grocery stores and 2,100 independent locations throughout the country. Learn more at SpartanNash.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correll with your home defense tip of the week. One item you should keep in your bedroom at all times is a military-grade high-lumen flashlight. I've raised four teenagers, and I've learned that just because someone's sneaking in your window at 2 a.m. doesn't mean you want to shoot them. That bright flashlight will immediately blind the invader and readily identify whether they are friend or foe. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
If you're a baby boomer with 100,000 or more of investable assets, this may be the most important 60 seconds for your retirement. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we transform typical portfolios that depend on speculative growth into portfolios that generate sustained retirement income for life. And right now, we're offering the latest book from our founder, David J. Scranton, Return on Principal. As an added bonus, our retirement income kit, full of valuable information, absolutely free. So if you're a baby boomer with 100,000 or more of investable assets, call 866-913-1234 right now for your free book and retirement income kit. Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. In retirement, it's all about generating enough income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Sound Income Strategies. The secret to a great retirement is our middle name.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
I'm Colonel Denny Gilliam. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation on tariffs and China with Jeff Ferry from the Center for a Prosperous America. Jeff, you made it very clear that while China is very dependent on us, they also have got a strong economy themselves. They've made some wise decisions. They're as big a dictatorship as we've ever seen anywhere. But this is one that does understand the economy, unlike the Soviet Union or Russia, and they're not dependent on any single thing. So they're an economy to deal with. That's a safe summary, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. They were a desperately poor country in 1978 when they started on this road to what I would call capitalist economic reform, or state-owned and state-controlled capitalist economic reform. And they've done an impressive job of clawing their way up through the league table now to where they're the second largest economy in the world.
Okay, there's that. But then there's other things. Taiwan, the South China Sea. How do these things impact the trade issue?
That's a good question. And you didn't mention North Korea. All those things impact the trade situation because President Trump in his negotiations is concerned about all those foreign policy issues as well as the trade and the economic issues. And of course, you know, China wields a lot of influence. It already controls Hong Kong. It would like to control Taiwan. It has a lot of influence, if not control, over the dictator in North Korea because he relies on China for so much of his goods. And the South China Sea, it just keeps advancing and advancing and building more military bases and putting more ships out there. And this is something the U.S. needs to be concerned about. I mean, we have allies and we need to stand by our allies. You know, on the other hand, trade is important and we can't allow the economy to get weaker.
Well, it's my guess that all of these are going to impact. We may not get everything we want trade or tariff-wise. We might also get something in the South China Sea, or we might get something in North Korea. It seems to me like this is a big bargaining table and there's all kinds of chips on the table. Am I right?
I think you're right. But, you know, I'm an economist and I want to tell you that the U.S. military and geopolitical strength rests on having a strong economy. In the last 30 years, key industries, including steel and high-tech industries, you know, as you know, smartphones are not made in this country anymore. Only a small number of computers are made in this country. The chip-making industry, which is vital to the future of technology and the future of so many industries, we make a smaller and smaller share of the world's chips here at home. Global Foundries just announced that it's abandoning its next-generation chip technology. And most of that happens now in Taiwan. And as you mentioned, I mean, this is a key reason why China has its eye on Taiwan. I mean, I know there's political reasons and there's emotional reasons for them, but Taiwan is the home of a lot of advanced technology, including best chip manufacturing company in the world, Taiwan Semiconductor, is there. So these are all delicate issues. As you say, they're all intertwined together. Now, the bottom line is for the U.S. to remain the world's leading superpower, it needs to have the productive capacity to be able to put all this technology out in the field and put a military out in the field that is second to none. And I think all this free trade globalism has compromised some of those capabilities.
Yes, I think that's very, very clear. And I'm glad we are trying to change that or in the process of changing it. But it's not just we'll go down this path and at the end of it, we know what's there. This is a multifaceted challenge with all kinds of things that can jump in, whether it's North Korea or who knows what. But it does seem to me very unlikely that China will want to be in a hostile relationship with us or us with them because we're pretty dependent on each other, aren't we?
Yes, I think that's right. I think you're right. It's a matter of sort of groping to a new equilibrium where instead of them exporting $500 billion worth of goods to us and decimating a range of our industries and, in my view, causing over 2 million more people unemployed than would have been the case without China, we need a new equilibrium where they're exporting less to us, we're exporting more to them, and we're partners instead of really rivals the situation has been, they've been taking advantage of our naivete, as I said. So we need to find a better solution.
Yeah, this is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking China with Jeff Ferry. I think you made a really good point. We have been economically incredibly naive for a couple of decades at least, and it appears that we're coming out of it. Certainly the economy in the United States looks pretty good right now, but China is a huge player in this. Jeff, we've just got a couple of minutes left. Take a minute or so right now and sum up the key points you'd like our listeners to take away from our talk today.
Okay. I think the key points are to grow the U.S. economy, we need to fix our $500 billion trade deficit because imports are substitutes for American-made products and American jobs. We need that. We need to use tariffs right now. It may not be the long-term solution, but tariffs will be the short-term solution to get our trade deficit down, or more importantly, even if the trade deficit doesn't come down, because this morning's figures, it's still inching up. More importantly, it's going to restart. It already is restarting domestic production in a number of industries. We need to do that, rebuild those industries, and that will lead us to economic growth again. And in doing so, we need to stand firm with our allies around the world and remind them that we can't run a trade deficit forever. That's not fair. It's not what people who set up the so-called liberal system of 1945 to 1950, all those people did not envisage permanent trade deficits. So we're in the process of fixing that system. We've got bipartisan support to do so. It's going to take time. We need to be patient and support those efforts and not get distracted. And as you mentioned, the geopolitical situation is very important. We need to hang tough in the face of international threats, rebuild our military at the same time that we're rebuilding the economy, because the two go hand in hand. So that's how I would say I see the situation with China right now. I mean, I say less about China because China has got its own problems, and, you know, we don't want to wreck the Chinese economy. Let them manage as best they can, but understand that we need to rebuild our economy.
Yes, sir. Take a quick minute now and tell us a little bit more about the Center for a Prosperous America, how people can learn more, how they could plug in. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you. So we are the Coalition for a Prosperous America, and we have that name because we're a coalition of manufacturers, labor unions, and agricultural groups. We have Democrats and Republicans and independents in our organization. We're all united by the need to fix trade in this country. We're at prosperousamerica.org, and if you go there, you can read about what we do, what actions, what policies we support, and you can read many of the articles that I've written, and we're soon to be beefing up our economics team and produce more articles and more commentary on the state of the U.S. economy. So we're at prosperousamerica.org. Please check us out online and send in your comments and join our organization.
Jeff, thank you so much for taking time to join us today. I'm delighted to hear about the center, and I'm delighted to hear about what you've been doing in your position. Thank you for joining us.
Sure. Thanks for having me. My pleasure.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, it's Service Academy football time with Quentin Roberts. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Start with a dozen, then stand at ease, but do stay in the area.
Shouldn't your home be your own? Custom? One of a kind? Introducing Custom Fabric Design, exclusively from Budget Blinds. Now you're the designer. We'll help you pick a pattern that matches your style perfectly. Next, choose from every color in the rainbow. Then, take your pick of six luxurious fabrics. Now, we do the rest. Budget Blinds will turn your design into beautiful custom drapes and pillows just for you. That's Custom Fabric Design, only from Budget Blinds. When we say we have style and service for every budget, we really mean it. See for yourself. Call for a free consultation right at home. Call 855-BUDGETBLINDS or go to budgetblinds.com. This is yours alone for your one-of-a-kind home. So call 855-BUDGETBLINDS. Call 855-BUDGETBLINDS now. At participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Ask for details.
USA Radio News.
Vice President Mike Pence and Secretary of Defense James Mattis participated in Tuesday's 17th anniversary of the attacks on September 11th at the Pentagon.
Even before the smoke cleared and the fires had put out,
Americans began to answer the call, to step forward to serve this nation, and they did so by the millions. The lines outside recruiting stations across this country reached around the block in big cities and small towns.
And regarding terrorism, FBI Director Christopher Wray said the United States has done a great job in thwarting terrorist attacks over the last number of years.
In the last year or so, we've thwarted attacks in San Francisco on the pier. We prevented an attack in Cleveland on the July 4th holidays, where there would have been thousands of people gathering to celebrate our freedom.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
What's on your bucket list? Running a marathon, hiking to the top of a mountain, or maybe surfing? What if I told you you can accomplish all of it at any age? This is Wayne Allen Root, and I'd like to introduce you to somebody that's changed my life, made me feel years younger, maybe saved my life, my Cenogenics physician, Dr. Bob Letta.
Thanks for the introduction, Wayne. At Cenogenics, we help people look and feel many years younger. We've been in business since 1997. We have locations across the United States, and we've treated over 35,000 patients worldwide. Our age management medicine is proven to work. On the Cenogenics program, you will have your own doctor, exercise counselor, and nutritionist all working together to fine-tune plans especially for you.
Thank you, Dr. Letta. I'm 57 and I feel like I'm 30 again. I feel the best of my life. I have the most energy of my life. Are you ready to start feeling the best of your life? Defy your age with Cenogenics. Call now for your free consultation at 888-YOUNGER. That's toll-free 888-YOUNGER. Or go to Cenogenics.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent. If you are a spouse or a USAA member, you can get a reward of between $350 and $6,000 when you buy or sell your next home. This also applies to the children and grandchildren of current USAA members. Call Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker to learn more. He can be reached at 908-238-0118. That's 908-238-0118.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. A Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, Spartan Nash, and their military division, MDV. Spartan Nash is a Fortune 400 company and the fifth largest food distributor in our great country. They've been honored as a veteran-friendly employer with over 800 associates self-reporting as veterans, guardsmen, or reserves. MDV is a leading distributor of grocery products to U.S. commissaries around the world. And in 2017, they were selected by the Defense Commissary Agency as the exclusive supplier of the Freedom's Choice and home-based brands in these commissaries. Learn more or check out career opportunities at SpartanNash.com. Troops, it is football season, and it's Service Academy football time. Joining me now is our football co-host, Quentin Roberts. Howdy, pal.
Danny, how you doing today?
I'm doing fine, but Army and Navy didn't do too well last week, and I guess we got to talk about that. You know, Army did lose to Duke 13-34, but they had a passing game. Where'd that come from?
Well, Danny, I'll tell you what, the Black Knights did unveil a passing game, and I'm sure they took the Blue Devils by surprise with it. But unfortunately, it seems like they may need to go back to the ground game because that's what was winning for them. But the truth of it, Danny, is that Army just ran into a rising Power 5 ACC team in the Duke Blue Devils and were defeated 34-14 with the scoring. And you'll find that Duke really pretty much controlled the game. They began with a field goal in the first quarter, in the second quarter. There was a 12-yard touchdown run and then another 1-yard touchdown run. So capping off a couple of long drives to go up 17-0 at the half. In the third quarter, Kelvin Hopkins, Army's new quarterback. Remember, Ahmad Bradshaw has been their longtime quarterback. So they're going through a little transition here. But Kelvin Hopkins sealed off a 55-yard, 11-play drive with a 3-yard touchdown run. But Duke answered right back, went up 24-7. Army came back again, 24-14 in the third quarter. And then Duke just put the icing on the cake with 10 points in the fourth quarter. But surprisingly, when you look at the statistics, Army was right in the game. Total yards, Army 365 to Duke's 381. Turnovers, always important. Army did lose the turnover battle by having two to Duke's one, but Army controlled the time of possession, 36 minutes to Duke's 24 minutes. And they were pretty much even in first down, Duke with 19 and Army at 18. The difference, though, the big plays. The big plays are what did it for the Blue Devils as they took the Black Knights down in their first game of the season, 34-14.
Well, that says it all. And then Navy played at Hawaii. The score was 59-41. Armesh, are you sure this wasn't a basketball game?
I tell you what, Danny, it certainly could have been. My headline for this game is Navy bombed in Pearl Harbor attack. By the Hawaii Rainbows this time, and it was literally bomb after bomb after bomb thrown by Hawaii quarterback Cole McDonald, who threw for six touchdown passes against the Navy midshipman defense. He started off with a seven-yard pass in the first quarter, then followed it up with a one-yard run. Then Hawaii really unleashed the passing attack. JoJo Ward hauled in a 34-yard pass from Cole McDonald for Hawaii to go up 21-0. Then there was a blocked punt. That's very uncharacteristic of Navy and Service Academy teams overall. Usually very sound in the special teams game, but Navy gave up a blocked punt for a touchdown before Zach Abey was able to run it in for a three-yard touchdown for the midshipmen. Then they kind of just traded barbs, but I tell you, Cole McDonald was the story. He was absolutely unstoppable for Hawaii as they racked up 522 yards of total offense. They held the ball for 30 minutes and really just, again, controlled the game. As we look at the total yards, though, Navy actually had 411 yards of total offense. And their new starting quarterback, Malcolm Perry, ran for over 100 yards, albeit 75 of those yards were on one play. So Navy dropped their opener to Hawaii as well. Of course, that's Coach Niumatalolo's alma mater. So that was a tough one. So Army and Navy dropped their openers, but then there's Air Force.
Yeah, that's for sure. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing Service Academy football. Well, Air Force 38-0 against Stony Brook. That's quite a score. It must have been a heck of a game.
Well, you know, the score really says it all. It was all about the Air Force defense. Air Force's defense pitched a shutout, and, you know, and Air Force controlled the game, of course. But surprisingly, it was not the type of game that you would expect, only because it was a bit underwhelming, frankly, on the offensive side. Air Force opened the game in the first quarter. Arian Werthman, the senior quarterback, directs a nine-play, 75-yard drive and caps it off with a seven-yard touchdown run. And then Air Force's defense jumps into the scoring column with a 32-yard interception return by Kyle Johnson. In the second quarter, Air Force added 10 more points to go up 24-0 at the half. And then in the fourth quarter, again, they came out, they added two more touchdowns to cap off the scoring. In team stats, though, and this is just unbelievable, and hats off to Air Force, 75 yards in total offense for Stony Brook to 362. Yes, you heard it right, Denny. 75 yards. That was it. Running and passing.
Wow.
Compared to Air Force's 362. And again, 362 really is not that much, given, you know, that they controlled the game. They held the ball 40 minutes to Stony Brook's 20. Had an edge in first downs, 23-4. But yet, you know, I don't want to minimize, you know, 38 points. That's still a very solid win. But, you know, I've been watching Service Academy football a long time. And, you know, Stony Brook is not a world beater by any stretch. And you really expect them to put up a few more points than that and to really dominate offensively a bit more than that. Interestingly, Air Force has been heavily criticized. Coach Calhoun has been heavily criticized for not naming a defensive coordinator this year. But I've got to say, somebody's doing something right. He may not ever name another defensive coordinator if they keep pitching shutouts. So that's how it ended in Colorado Springs on Parents Weekend, as the new cadets, the freshmen, and their parents all have smiling faces watching Air Force defeat Stony Brook.
Yep, I absolutely believe that. And I'm glad Air Force pulled a victory out for the service academies. That's great. Now, this weekend, Army hosts Liberty, Navy hosts Memphis, and Air Force, I believe they play at Florida Atlantic.
Another tough slate. Let's start with that Navy-Memphis game. Memphis is the American Athletic Conference West Division champions a year ago. They bring back a lot, and boy, they were off to a tremendous start last week as they amassed, I think it was 700 yards of total offense. So Memphis is another high-powered offense, and Navy's going to have their hands full. Memphis is favored to win this game. But it's the opener at Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium, and anything can happen. The midshipmen are not likely. They haven't started 0-2 in many years. And so let's hope the midshipmen are able to, especially that defense, to come back, buckle it up, get back to work, and pick up the win.
Amen.
Now, when you talk about Army and Liberty, this one should be an M&M-er, a mismatch. Army should jump all over them. I expect Army to coast pretty easily in that game. And Navy has Florida Atlantic on the road. And Florida Atlantic is going to be chomping at the bit as they were beaten down pretty good by, of course, a strong Oklahoma Sooners team in week one. And so Air Force is going to have their hands full. You know, Florida Atlantic's coach, Lane Kiffin, a very recognizable coach, and so Air Force is going to have their hands full on the road. Florida Atlantic is favored in that game. But we're going to learn a lot about the Falcons as they travel Florida Atlantic.
Quentin, thank you. Thanks for your comments, for being on the team. It's fun that it's football time, and we're rocking and rolling.
It's great to be back, Danny. Great to be back and looking forward to another great season of Service Academy football.
Indeed. I'm Colonel Danny Gillen. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag, then it's military history time. You've reported for duty to the front lines of freedom. Stand tall, troops. Get a bench and some good weights. You should be up to about 100 pounds by now. Do 75 bench presses. I want you lean and mean. Then stand at ease. United American Patriots wants to spread the message of hope across the United States by providing service members that have been wrongfully accused of war crimes during overseas tours and combat area deployments with civilian attorneys at no cost to themselves or their families, to support them until they're released, and to get these heroes back to where they belong with their families. Check UnitedPatriots.org. That's UnitedPatriots.org.
Sliding around in sock feet is a pretty common activity in a Fisher house. You see, every year, thousands of kids stay here to be close to a wounded mommy or daddy receiving care at a military or VA medical center. It's a place where they can feel at home when they're not, and where kisses and hugs are only minutes away instead of time zones, which, for a kid with a soldier as a parent, is an unfamiliar luxury. To learn more about the Fisher House Foundation and how you can help, go to fisherhouse.org today.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnsspeaks.com. Please tune in to Living Consciously, where myself and my co-host will entertain you, inform you, and educate you in certain modalities. Living Consciously is something that we really must learn to do, because that way you'll know what's going on around you. This show can be heard at 2 p.m. every Friday on huntertonchamberradio.com. Thank you.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Caldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send me your thoughts to me at danny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Skip, what's first?
Skip wrote, Colonel, I like that name. Skip, that's a good name.
You think so?
Yeah. Skip wrote that he was interested to hear about the Friends of the Israeli Defense Force. He was glad to hear good things about Israel. He doesn't hear much good from the media.
Well, Skip, thank you for your comments, and you're right on. The media, and also the UN, find everything that Israel does to be bad. In fact, while they're far from perfect, they're a very good people and a very good nation and a good friend of America.
Pete from Dallas likes your comparing open borders for our nation with leaving the doors to your house open all the time so that anyone can come in, help themselves, and stay as long as they wish. He's used that example several times with very good results.
Thanks, Pete. If we can help people to think first and not just act, or vote emotionally, our nation will be a better place. Well, you know, gents, before we get to military history, the other day I was thinking about my time as the head of the Army ROTC department at the University of Tampa. As department chair, I sat with the other department chairs at the Provost Council. Well, political correctness was doing its thing even back in the early 1980s, and we were told that from now on we could no longer use the title of chairman or chairwoman that was racist or sexist or something. From now on, we had to be chairpersons. We all felt that that was a bit foolish, but we also realized the decision had been made by those way above us. One gent, I think he was chaired the biology department, declared that he would absolutely never use a horrible title like chairperson. So he announced to us all from that point on he would be the chair creature. And indeed he did, business cards and everything. As a result of that experience, I now use the term chair critter or Congress critter whenever I have to be gender nonspecific. I really like that term. See, even professors and colonels can learn.
Yeah, and so, Colonel, I think you were on the cutting edge of anti-political correctness, even way back in the 1980s.
Wow, I feel really good about that.
So, as always, Rangers lead the way.
Hoo-ah! Okay, Skip, military history time. What's first?
On 10 September 1776, General George Washington asked for a volunteer for an extremely dangerous mission— to gather intelligence behind enemy lines before the coming Battle of Harlem Heights. Captain Nathan Hale of the 19th Regiment of the Continental Army stepped forward and subsequently became one of the first known American spies of the Revolutionary War. He was caught by the British. His final words before he was hung was that I regret that I have but one life to give for my country.
I fear there aren't enough Americans today who would feel that way. On 10 September 1813, during the War of 1812, in the first unqualified defeat of a British naval squadron in history, Captain Oliver Hazard Perry led a fleet of 9 American ships to victory over a squadron of 6 British warships at the Battle of Lake Erie.
And to that, the colonel says, go Navy?
Beat Navy, yes.
Okay. On 12 September 1814, during the War of 1812, a British fleet began the bombardment of Fort McHenry, the last American defense before Baltimore. Lawyer Francis Scott Key had approached the British attackers seeking the release of a friend who was being held for unfriendly acts toward the British. Key himself was detained overnight and witnessed the bombardment of Fort McHenry from a British ship. As the sun rose, Key was amazed to see the American flag still flying over the battered fort. This inspired Key to write the lyrics to The Star-Spangled Banner and adapt them to the tune of a well-known British drinking song. The Star-Spangled Banner was officially recognized as the national anthem in 1931.
I do love that song. On 14 September 1847, during the Mexican-American War, U.S. forces under General Winfield Scott entered Mexico City and raised the American flag over the halls of Montezuma. That one's for you, Skip.
Hoorah!
The Mexican-American War began with a dispute over the U.S. government's 1845 annexation of Texas. In January 1846, President James Polk ordered General Zachary Taylor to occupy disputed territory between the Nueces and Rio Grande Rivers. Mexican troops attacked Taylor's forces, and Congress declared war against Mexico. The following March, U.S. forces under General Winfield Scott invaded Mexico, 3 miles south of Veracruz. They encountered little resistance, and by nightfall, the last of Scott's 10,000 men came ashore without the loss of a single life. It was the largest amphibious landing in U.S. history, not surpassed until World War II. By March 29, with very few casualties, Scott's forces had taken Veracruz and its massive fortress, San Juan de Ulna, and on September 14th, Scott's forces reached the Mexican capital. In February 1848, representatives from the U.S. and Mexico signed the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, ending the war, recognizing Texas as a part of the USA, and extending the boundaries of the United States west to the Pacific Ocean.
On 14 September 1944, the U.S. 1st Marine Division landed on the island of Peleliu, one of the Palau Islands in the Pacific, as part of a larger operation to provide support for General Douglas MacArthur, who was preparing to invade the Philippines. The Palaus were among the mandated islands taken from Germany and given to Japan as one of the terms of the Treaty of Versailles at the close of World War I. The U.S. military lacked familiarity with the islands, and Admiral William Halsey argued against this operation, believing that MacArthur would meet minimal resistance in the Philippines, therefore making this operation unnecessary, especially given the risk involved. Peleliu was subject to pre-invasion bombardment, but it proved of little consequence. The Japanese defenders were buried too deep in the jungle. Upon landing, the Marines met little resistance. Shortly thereafter, Japanese machine guns opened fire, knocking out more than two dozen landing craft. Japanese tanks and troops followed as the Marines fought for their lives. Jungle caves disgorged more Japanese soldiers. By the time it was over, our Marines had lost over 9,000 men. The Japanese lost over 13,000. And it all proved pointless. MacArthur invaded the Philippines without need of protection from either island.
And that's military history for today. Skip, it's time for our Armed America Report. What do you have this week?
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, two armed men who targeted a home of an 84-year-old man in Ohio probably thought the victim would let them do what they wanted and leave. Instead, after one of the interlopers shot the homeowner in his side, the wounded resident grabbed a gun and exchanged gunfire with the culprits. It's unclear if either of the robbers was hit, but having a gun at hand saved the 84-year-old and his grandson, who had crawled out a window and onto the roof to protect himself. Smart kid.
Yeah. Thanks, Colonel. This story gives us an excellent opportunity to talk about what happens to gunfighters when they get old. Folks, let's face it, very few of us get stronger as we enter our twilight years. In fact, there are a lot of things that happen to our body as we age, and none of them are friendly. Our eyesight gets dim, we lose strength, mental acuity, agility, flexibility, hearing, and even stamina. All of these things impair our ability to fight off attackers, but you need not just roll over and give up, no matter how old you are. Aside from these negative things happening to our body, we should also look at some of the plus signs of getting older as they relate to self-defense. Number one, the law gives us older folks more leeway when it comes to use of deadly force. Think about it. What jury in their right mind would convict an 84-year-old man for defending himself like the man in this story did? In general, society more readily avails the use of deadly force to the weakest members of its society. The 84-year-old man cannot retreat and he cannot hope to defend himself against an attack without that equalizer that we call a firearm. Now, the deadly force laws vary from state to state, so I recommend you get legal advice from a competent licensed attorney in your state just to make sure. Two, the home invaders in this story greatly underestimated the 84-year-old man. They targeted him because of his age and weakness, and no doubt expected this job to be a walk in the park. So when an older person resists, that causes hesitancy on the aggressor's part, as they did not come to the altercation expecting an armed citizen who was determined to thwart them. Now, here are a few things to consider as a seasoned citizen before you run out and buy a gun. 1. Can you safely operate the gun without danger to yourself and those around you? Do you have the physical strength to press the trigger and to rack the slide? Can you control the recoil? If not, then go to a smaller caliber to meet those requirements. 2. Keep the gun close at hand. Make sure the gun is either on your person or have good gun safes on each level of your home. At 84 years old, it is doubtful you'll get much time to arm yourself, so the gun has to be close by. And 3, get in the best physical shape you can for a person of your age. As always, start out slowly and work your way up. Don't try the Rocky Balboa workout on your first day of training. Use common sense. While all these things pose challenges to senior citizens, it doesn't automatically disqualify you from carrying a firearm. The 84-year-old man in this story did a great job as he fought off younger and stronger opponents, and Front Lines of Freedom salutes him.
He did a good job. Our movie of the month is A Kiddish Man. It's a short movie in Israel. Please go to the Front Lines of Freedom website, go to the blog, and get the link. You can watch it for free. We'll review it at the end of the month, and I'd really appreciate it if you'd send me your comments, denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. Our book giveaway this week is Steve Elam's excellent book, Pipeline. To get in on the drawing, email me, denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com, and put Pipeline in the subject line. Next week on Front Lines of Freedom, Alan West will join us to discuss Israel. We'll also talk with author Bradley Berger about his book on President Andrew Jackson, and we'll cover the Service Academy football games that are being played this weekend.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Front Lines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the Front Lines of Freedom. And do join us next week for military and veteran information that you will not get anywhere else on the Front Lines of Freedom. Dismissed.
Spartan Ash is a proud sponsor of Front Lines of Freedom, and we would like to thank all listeners for their support of and service to our country. Spartan Ash is committed to supporting our veterans as they transition out of the service and back into the workforce. As a veteran-friendly employer, Spartan Ash is committed to hiring, training, and retaining those who served our country.
Learn how your skills and experience can be put to use at Spartan Ash and begin your civilian career with us. Learn more at spartannash.com/careers.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
President Trump marked the 17th anniversary of the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks on American soil. From Shanksville, Pennsylvania, President Trump had a message for everyone across the world.
This field is now a monument to American defiance. This memorial is now a message to the world. America will never, ever submit to tyranny.
As Hurricane Florence heads toward South Carolina, mandatory evacuation orders are in effect. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster.
Follow the evacuation routes and use those highways. We have four big highways leading from the coast. As of noon today, they will all be going. All lanes will be open only in one direction, that is away from the coast.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn. Tangible Investments is the main title sponsor of my show. Many of my fans and listeners tell me they buy gold and collectible coins from a local dealer in their city because they don't know where else to go. Or from telemarketers they see on TV because these companies spend millions to advertise. Sadly, the majority of companies that consumers reach out to rely on commissioned salespersons who have limited experience, limited expertise, and no credentials whatsoever. Tangible Investments has been around for 35 years. They build long-term relationships, not one-time sales. They work on the lowest spreads anywhere in the industry, so you always get the best price. Most importantly, the listeners of War Now are guaranteed to deal directly with Mike Bonham, VP of Tangible, and a staff of senior executives with a combined 200 years of experience in precious metals. Get the best prices, the lowest spread, deal with the most credible, experienced experts in the industry, and right now start your tangible relationship off right with a free American Silver Eagle. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000. Or visit TII1.com.
The White House reports the American economy is humming along with strong job creation, increased wages, rapid business growth, and soaring consumer confidence. USA Radio Network's John Clemens has more.
That was the assessment from Kevin Hassett, the chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors, who says the increases in wages will outpace the inflation rate that is now right under 3%.
The best defense